Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy last Sunday of the year for 2018 as we get ready to go into 2019. If you're here this morning as a first-time visitor, our greeters outside have probably already greeted you. They do such an excellent job doing that. But perchance it might be that you have slipped in unnoticed, and it's not in our intention to let that happen. We like to welcome you and acknowledge you. For all of you who are here today, and maybe you were already greeted at the door or given a guest packet, if you're a first-time visitor, would you just lift your hand up real high so everyone around can see you? Hi, we're just glad to have you. We just want you to be welcome. We are thankful for your presence, and we believe that God is going to minister to you today, as well as all of us, in a very special way. I feel like we need to pay really close attention, and sometimes we let things slip by that the Lord has already saying to us, and we really need to focus on, and sometimes we need some reminders. One of the things before I get into the Word was the first thing that Carol Muckle said this morning is a scripture: the Lord will accomplish that which concerns you. That's a word from God. I'd like you to say this out loud with me. The Lord will accomplish that which concerns me. One more time. The Lord will accomplish that which concerns me. Everybody has a path that God has planned for you. Your path is different from mine. In many respects, some things we share in common, but there are certain things in our life that are different from anybody else's. Before I go any further, I want to acknowledge that my just turned 18-year-old granddaughter, Mariah, is with us this morning. She's right down here next to my... Thank you for that. She doesn't like to be pointed out, so I won't ask her to stand, and I won't tell you how much we love her, and I won't tell you how great she is and how she's... I won't go into all that. But the Lord has a path for Mariah. Her name means God is my teacher. When she was born into our family 18 years ago, that name spoke volumes to me. I can't even begin to tell you all that that means, but just her name, Mariah, means God is my teacher. And he certainly is. He certainly is. And one of the things I've learning in my path is how you got to stay open to God. You have to stay open. God, his nature is unchanging. He never changes. But his actions are incredibly mysterious. You can't figure out what he's going to do. His nature never changes, but he's unpredictable in his actions. You just don't know how he's going to work through that problem you have. You don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You can't figure out how this is going to work out for good. And sometimes he lets things get darker and look worse before he shows up. God always likes to work with a minority, not a majority. He just believes that you and him together are a majority, no matter what kind of odds come up against you. He's very confident in himself. He really believes that he's God. He has no problem with that. Some of you don't believe that yet. But he really believes he's God. He really believes he can do anything. He's very confident and who he is. And one of the things I believe that God wants to happen in our lives. I know He does. He wants us to grow in this confidence. God is very, very confident, and He wants us to be confident in Him. There are times that God sets things up in your life called trials. We call them trouble. And God calls it a trial. And that which He could have stopped, He allows. And we question Him sometimes, God, if You love me and if You're loving, why haven't You done anything about this? And He says, just hold on. Remain open. Don't shut down. Don't close. Stay open. I'm going to show you things about me that you don't know yet. You've read about it in my book, but you need to experience it to really own it, to know it. Are you with me? And this openness to God is something that we, on our part, have to work at, not a work of the flesh, but a work of grace. We have to stay open to God. We have to believe that nothing really is impossible for the Lord. There is nothing too difficult. There is no hard case for God. You say, oh, but you don't know my husband. Oh, yes, he does. Or you don't know my child in rebellion. Oh, yes, he does. And I have to tell you today how important it is for us that right now to check something in our own spirit, because we can come to church, we can sing songs, we can pray, we can do all the Christian stuff that Christians are supposed to do, and we can do them and yet be closed to God. And people around us can't even tell. But we're not open to all the possibilities. We're not open to the realm of miracles and signs and wonders. We're not open to what God wants to show us and what He has been showing us. And we're closed and we're missing things. I've been talking to you in the last 4 weeks about the subject of joy. And been studying particularly what joy is, and I've seen it in a way that I've never seen it before. It's not just a happy emotion. That's the byproduct. But it really is Jesus opening you. The day you got saved, the day you received Jesus in your life, you experienced His joy. Thank you for all those amens. You can help me preach better if you kind of talk to me every once in a while. Jesus opened your heart. Joy came in because joy is His presence. Joy is really a person. Joy really is Jesus. He's love. He's joy. He's peace. He's goodness. He's kindness. He's faith. He's meekness. He's self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct of His presence in your life. That's what it is. You don't love and manufacture love. It comes out of just because it's in Him. And it's if He's in you, then it'll come out of you. It's the fruit of His presence. And so this joy I've seen in a different light in the past 4 weeks, that it is Jesus opens you and He comes in His presence and He abides with you. He lives with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Although there are times it seems like He's left you. He will let you go through times where it seems like God's not answering your prayer. He's silent. You're not hearing anything. It's very dry time in your life spiritually. You're not getting anything. And if you're not very careful, you can start to believe that what you see is real rather than what you don't see is more real. The key is you've got to be open. You got to stay open. Now, He came into your life. He opened your heart, and you had the revelation. Some way, somehow, someone presented the gospel to you. You said yes to Jesus. You prayed a prayer, and you may have felt something. You may not have felt something, but Jesus came into your life that day, and He came in to stay. And He's there now. And the only way that you can quench the Spirit of God that lives in you is that you don't keep open to Him. You shut down. Circumstances, trials, troubles, unexpected things happen on your particular path that God has designed you to go through because He's with you and He's going to show you a path through that thing like you've never seen before. He's going to show you things about God you've never known before. You have to experience some trials. You have to go through some things so you can own this experience and you can come out with a knowledge, a personal knowledge that God is real. He really is real. I mean, He lives in me. He's with me. He's real. I know He's real. So you don't have to go around and telling someone that they can see it in you. But you got to keep open. A lot of Christians today, they were open to God, they got saved, but then they closed the door. They thought that's all there was. They shut down. You got to be open. Jesus opens you and he keeps you open. And he says, come on, stay with me. Abide with me. Trust with me. Let's go through this together. I know it looks difficult. I know it looks impossible. Don't quit. Don't give up. Persevere. Press on through. Stay open. And then if you're not careful, you shut down. You close the door. And you still go through all the motions of church and all that stuff and act like you got it all together and act like you really have joy flowing through your life. And really, you're just shut down. You just become a little old religious person. First Pharisee church. Go through the motions. Yes, we know about God. It's all cerebral. It's all knowledge. It's all stuff that we learn and we have up here. We don't have any experience here that's fresh and ongoing right now. We don't have any fresh revelation from God. All we live off is the past. We become dusty old Bibles, dusty old Christians. No fresh revelation of God. We don't hear God talk to us anymore. Well, he doesn't do that anymore, you know. Miracle signs, oh, healing doesn't happen anymore today. So we don't pray for healing. Well, therefore, you don't see anything. You're not open. Listen, I couldn't tell you how many churches right now we could walk in, probably around this area and all over the country and all over the world, that they're not open to Jesus. They're walking in the revelation they had years ago. And they're trying to live off that stale bread, and there's fresh manna available to them. They're not open. They don't see God in nature. They don't see God in creation. They don't see him in his word. They don't hear his word today. They don't let the Spirit of God lead them. When Jesus came into your life and he opened your heart, he intended for you to stay open. He wants you to live open. Nothing's impossible. Otherwise, it would have been, okay, you got saved today. Now you're going to heaven tomorrow. So you got saved today, praise God. Now you're going to heaven and we can have a nice funeral and people can say nice things about you. Well, you know, at least he got saved before he died. Is that what it's all about to you? He came to reveal himself to you. And so the day you got saved, you had a revelation of God is real. You were so excited. You loved him. You fell in love with him because he's love, and his love came into your life and you loved him back, and you were just reciprocating this incredible experience of his presence. It was wonderful. And then over a period of time, for whatever reason, that presence seemed to diminish. It's quite possible that God wanted to wean you off the feeling part and get you to believe his word whether you felt his presence or not. Instead of chasing after a presence and going after this conference and reading this new book and doing this new thing and always having to have a feeling, he weaned you off of that so he could say, now look, I told you, I promised you, I'll never leave you now nor forsake you. You live off of that right now in the time when you don't see anything happening. See, we all walk through that. It's part of our path. Everybody has that in some way or another. So God wants to reveal himself to you. Can I tell you and dare you to realize he wants to reveal himself to you today in a way that you probably have not yet experienced in your life? Would you believe that? I don't really care whether you believe it or not because it's true. I know it's true. There's not a day that goes by that God hasn't some way cleverly designed something to happen in your life to reveal to you, here's a little love note, here I am, I'm with you. What if every day God's cleverly designed something, some way, somehow, whether it be in nature, whether it be a word someone says, whether it be a sermon a preacher preaches, a song you hear, or just a thought that comes into your head that God is showing you, see, I'm here. Just between you and me. He gives you a little love note, a little touch, a little something. If you told people some of the things, they'd think you crazy. But he just gives you a little glimpse. Here, see, I'm here. I told you I was here. See, I know all about this. Yeah, I heard your prayer. Yeah, I'm here to comfort you. Yeah, I'm here. I don't know how he does that to you, but everybody has a path here in this life where God, if God's in your life, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I guarantee you there's not a day that goes by, not one day on this earth that goes by, that he doesn't in some way design something for you to notice and go, oh, he just reminded me that he's with me. But if you're not open, you'll miss it. All your day will be, well, just work and the grind and paying the bills and going home and doing your routine and do this and do that. And you won't even see the way that God, he put a rainbow in the sky today just for you to just remind you. Yeah, there's hope. Yeah, I heard you. He let a butterfly come into your path today just to show you, yeah, I know all about the grief you went through. There's hope. Don't worry. There's life after death. Yeah. He let me a little something. Maybe one time a guy told me every time he saw a red cardinal that to him it meant something so special because God had revealed himself to him in some way. And I don't remember all the details about a little red cardinal. So every time a red cardinal would show up in his yard or somewhere around him where he would see it, he just knew that that was God's little love note to him. See, I love you. I'm with you. I promise you I'll take care of this. Don't worry. I don't know what it is to you, but there's little something somewhere that God has shown you. Look, here, I'm here. I'm right here. I promise you. Yeah, I'm with you. I love you. You ought to think about that right now. What is it? Probably several different ways he just keeps showing up. I'm here. You got to remain open to him. This is what abiding is all about. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me bears much fruit. What is that fruit? The fruit of his presence. The fruit of his presence, the byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. It's the fruit of his presence. He's with me. He's in me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So this abiding is remaining aware of him. This is what empowers us to see if you don't abide in Christ. I don't mean that you can lose salvation. I'm talking about abiding in the awareness that he's in me, he's with me, he's showing himself to me through life and through circumstances, through people, whatever. And he's showing himself to me, and I'm abiding, I'm expecting this day that God's going to reveal himself to me in some way. And this abiding is what keeps you open. But you can stop abiding. It doesn't mean you lose salvation. You can stop abiding. You can shut yourself down. You don't remain open. You close shop. You close the door. And you say, well, that's all there is. It's not going to get any better. God doesn't love me. God doesn't help me. God's not with me. You shut yourself down. You're not remaining open, you see. You got to remain open to him. If you want to know how open you are to God, do you want to know how open you are to God? Good. Then when was the last time you know God was revealing a little glimpse of himself to you as if to say, I'm right here? When was that? Good. I hear some say this morning. I hear some say yesterday. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. And if you have to think about it a long time, I want to tell you something. You're not open. You may be a nice person. You may be saved, but you're not open. I don't know what happened to you, but somewhere along the line, you shut the door. You stopped abiding. You stopped rejoicing. You stopped being thankful in everything. You stopped believing something about God, and you closed the door. You did. Because he said, I'll never leave you. The greatest revelation that's ever been brought to the world is the birth of Jesus. And in the prophecy in Isaiah, he says, you're going to call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Eternal God. The Ancient of Days. The first and the last. The omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscient God. He is with us. Us right now. I am blown away that God would want to hang out with me. I am blown away that he is interested in what concerns me. Now, he wants me to get my mind off of all my stuff and move over and to set my mind on things that he wants to talk to me about. But he's also at the same time interested in what I'm interested in. If I'm going through a trial, if I've got a care and I've got a concern, he wants me to come talk to him about it. He knows all about it anyway, but he wants me through prayer to unburden myself to him. He wants me to live in this relationship with him where I stay open to him and I remain open to him. So we're to live in this constant awareness, ladies and gentlemen. This is what joy is. Jesus opens you. He intends for you to stay open. Your part is to abide, remain, stay open, keep the door open. Anything's possible with God. We know his nature never changes, so he never stops loving you. He's never angry at you. He's never wrathful at you. None of that. All that was poured out on Jesus. He loves you continually, continually, continually. You remain open to him. Jesus opens you. So you're to live in this constant awareness and dependence that he's living in me and he wants to live through me. Everybody say, through me. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came in the day we were born of the above, from above, born of the Spirit of God, supernaturally. Whether you felt it or not, it didn't matter. He promised and he's with you. Now you're born from above. You're born of the Spirit. Now you are to learn to live led by the Spirit. Learning to yield, learning to abide, learning to trust. And as a branch that abides in the vine, you're to let his life flow through your life, whatever you're going through at this very particular moment, let him flow through you. Let him flow through you. You're the branch. You've got to remain open. Don't shut down. Remain open. He's still with me even though I don't feel his presence. He's still with me when I don't see anything happening. He's still with me when he doesn't answer my prayers the way I want him to answer them. I'm open to him. I'm a branch. My job is simple. Abide. Remain. Stay in faith. Keep believing. And this is how we let his life flow through us in whatever circumstances we're going through at that particular moment. God is saying to us, ladies and gentlemen, today, very clearly, remain in faith. Remain with me. Keep believing in me. Keep trusting me. Stay with me. Let's walk through this trial together. I've not stopped loving you. Sometimes it may feel like I don't love you. But come on, trust me. I'll show you the way to go. I'll show you things you could never know. That's what I believe God is saying. Believers, everybody say believers, are people who believe and are believing. They're believing something that unbelievers don't believe. Believers are right now believing that God is with me. He's inside of me. He knows the path that he has for me. He will help me. Believers are believing right now that. Unbelievers don't believe that. They say, come on. If God is with you, show him to me. Well, that will happen through your life as you go through trials, as you go through things, and then people will come back as you've gone through that successfully with Jesus, that trial, that trouble, whether it was cancer, whether it was bankruptcy, whatever you've gone through, and you've gone through it, and then people will say, I don't know how you were able to go through that. And then there you go. Then you can tell them, well, let me tell you, I was only able to go through that because Jesus is in me and I was abiding in him through this whole storm. I stayed open to him. Believers are believing something that unbelievers don't believe. Very simply, it's this, that God is with us. God, creator of the universe, God Almighty, Jesus, God incarnate. Holy Spirit of God, the three, they're living inside of me. You mean you could be so bold and so arrogant that you think God lives in you? What do you base that on, what he said? I'm believing his promise. I'm believing him. Therefore, because believers are believing something unbelievers don't believe, we believe that God is with us. Therefore, we see things that others don't see. I said, we see things. We see things that other people don't see. And they'll say, well, that's just your imagination. So how open are you really? Why does Jesus tell us to remain and abide in him? Well, the answer is on the screen. A few verses later, he tells you, look, if you abide with me, okay, a trial's coming, a storm's coming, something unexpected in your life is about to hit. What I could stop, I'm allowing. And if I'm allowing it and I'm good, it's only because there's something good in it that you need to learn about me, and something I want you to come through life confident. I want you to be confident. God loves confidence. He's confident in himself, and he wants his children to be confident in him. So if God allows you to go through a storm and allows you to go through, he says, look, just abide in me, remain in me, stay with me, trust me through this. I've not left you, I'm with you. And this is why, say these words out loud with me. Jesus said, I have spoken that may in you, and that your joy may be full. I told you this. Abide in me, remain with me, stay with me, trust me. Because in this trial is hidden some joy that you don't see yet. Yeah, it's there. It's in every trial. Any trial that God allows to come in your life, he has put it there. He's put joy there. Because his joy is your strength, according to his word. His joy in you is what's going to enable you to persevere and not quit too soon. His joy in you is going to give you the perseverance that you need so you don't give up like other people would give up. His joy, what he gave to you when he first opened your heart and you received him, he intends for his joy to come in and pour into your heart, and your joy, his joy with your joy, makes your cup overflow. My cup overflows. It usually doesn't overflow a lot to your awareness until after you go through the trial and you say, my goodness, why was I so stupid? Why did I doubt God? Why did I even question? Why did I hesitate? Why didn't I trust you? And then you discover the various ways that God manifests himself to you. And these ways that he just shows himself to you, he shows off, not to brag, he shows off to you to show you he's bigger and better than what you thought he was. He continually shows up in ways that you go, wow, wow, if you'll just be open. And you'll discover that he's better than you thought he was. Why? Because in Psalm 16:11, it says, you, God, will make me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So there's a path to life. Your path is different from my path. There are things on your path that you may have to go through that I may not have to go through. Things on my path that I may have to go through that you may not go through. You can't compare your life with other people. If you do, you're going to be very miserable. Ask me how I know. He has a particular path for you. He has a path for you to pass through this temptation that he's allowing you to be tempted. He's not causing the temptation. He's allowing you to be tempted, to discover he has made a way of escaping it. There's a path. That addiction you think you can't break, that's a lie. God has a path. That habit you're not able to break, no, there's a path. He wants to show you the path of life that he has for you. The path, that whatever trial you're in this moment, he has a path. You will make me to know the path of life, your presence. And in that path is the fullness of joy, saying, God, you're greater than I thought you were. You were able to deliver me from this addiction. You were able to break me free from the devil's stronghold. You were able to save me and deliver me and heal me and provide for me. And you showed me a way that I didn't even see. Are you with me, anybody? Your path. He sets up little road signs, little signs every here. It's okay. God does do signs. Little signs. He puts them in the sky, puts them in the stars. He puts them in places that he knows that while you're going about your day, something, he'll put a little sign somewhere that he'll go, you'll go, That's him. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And you can't tell everybody about these, and you're not to broadcast everything. That's just between you and him. It's a little love note that he sent you. It's just to keep you going. A little sign of his presence. I'm with you. Stay open, stay open, stay open. And so all through this life and through every day of our life, our question should be frequently throughout the day, I wonder how he's going to reveal himself to me today. Already this morning, would you think about between now and this moment when I just said that, have there possibly been some ways that Jesus has been trying to manifest himself to you, in some way? You say, well, no, I don't know anything. Well, then guess what? You're not open. No, you're not. Oh, I'm abiding in divine. No, you're not. Because if you were, you'd already notice something. It may be a little thing, but you'd have noticed, you'd have heard it in a song, you'd have heard it in something said, you'd have heard it in someone's voice, you'd have seen it in someone's smile, you'd have seen it in their eyes. I don't know how God does these things, but he's God Almighty. He's absolutely unlimited in what he can do. And he does talk to you. He reveals himself to you because he loves you. He wants you to know he's better than what you think he is. And he's in you. He's in you to stay. And if you can't, if you don't come up with anything, let me tell you, friend, it's quite possible you're not open. You thought you were, but you're not. Because Jesus opens you. Even in a trial, especially in a trial. Trials are hard places. We go through a trial. It's difficult. It's a time when almost like God hides his face from us on purpose. It's a time where maybe God is silent. You haven't heard a fresh revelation from God. And it's like God is allowing you to go through a trial, a difficulty. And in every trial, there's hidden joy. It's hidden. It's hidden. Not from you, but for you to find. And you don't find it until you're going through the trial, and only if you remain open, if you abide, if you remain aware of his presence, aware that he's with you, aware that he loves you, even though it looks like he doesn't love you, he loves you. And so he lets you go through these trials, these hard places, so that you'll have strength to make it through the end. He knows what's your future has. He knows the path here on earth, the trials that are coming that are necessary in your life to produce godliness, to produce contentment, to produce faith. He knows those things that are coming in your life. And so to prepare you for whatever's coming, the storm that is a necessary storm in life so that you can learn that he's with you. He allows these storms and these trials, these hard places, so that you'll have the endurance for the next one that may be more difficult. You need to go through this so you have the confidence to face this one. In the Marine Corps, there was this thing, this course in boot camp called Confidence Course. Actually, it was an obstacle course. But they named it Confidence Course. And you got to climb over some poles, and you got to climb up some walls and some rope, and climb up some nets and do different things. And all of it, as a young man, 19 years old, looked kind of fun to me because I was, you know, enjoyed that kind of thing. But then there was this one thing that you came to where it was a line, a wire from a real high pole, way high, probably as high as this ceiling here or higher. And then the wire went all the way down over some water in a mud hole into the ground. And everything was fun until I got to that point. Whoa, now I've climbed over a wall, I've climbed over things, I ran through obstacles and this and that, you know, no big deal, fun. But when you come to that, you went, uh-oh. You mean we got to climb up this pole with a pack and a gun and all this equipment, and we got to get up here, and then we got to get on this wire, and you had to slide down the wire this way, not upside down, but hanging up like the, keeping your balance on this wire. And if you flipped over, you either had to get back, crawl back up the wire, or you dropped into the mud hole. And I'd never done anything. I said, I'm on this obstacle course. I'm up there. I'm on this thing, and I'm going, and I'm going. And all of a sudden, I flipped underneath. And I'm hanging with my legs and my arms. And I'd already seen some guys, you know, they tell them, okay, drop. And I thought the drill instructor was going to say, now drop. Okay, you messed up. Drop. Well, they didn't tell me to do that. I would have gladly dropped because I didn't want to have to climb back up the thing. But the drill instructor said, Washburn, get back up there on the podium. Now I'm upside down and the wire's going this way and I've got to somehow climb backwards up into and get climb up on the podium without falling off. It's called a confidence course. Are you understanding? I didn't fall in the mud hole. No. Necessity is a good teacher sometimes. Because if you fell in the mud hole, you had to get back up and do the whole thing again. I was able to do some things I didn't know I could do. I didn't know I could climb backwards up a wire. I didn't know I could do that. See, God knows that you have some stuff in you that you don't have the confidence that you really have in you yet. He gave you a promise. He said, for you to be able to claim, he says, I want you to be able to say this with confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things means all things. I want you to be able to say that. And so you say that right now in church where it's easy and we're all saying it together. Oh, yeah, I can do all that. Yeah. Well, we have a big, you know, pep rally and believe that and everything. And then you go out and guess what? Trial. Well, I ain't never done anything like that before. I don't think I can do that. Then you start talking yourself out of it. And so God has ordained some trials in your path for 2019 that are necessary. And if they're necessary, they're good. And if they're good, they're going to build confidence in you so that by the end of 2019, you're going to have a lot more confidence than you had when you started 2019. Are you with me? Well, get excited about it. Now, so here's an example in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My friends, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble. I have yet to find anybody to do that. Be glad when you have a lot of trouble. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested, but you must learn to endure even the trial you're in right now. Test, T-E-S-T, temporarily enduring some trouble. Boop. This is a test. Come on, this is only a test. This is a test. It's only temporarily enduring some trouble. That's all it is. God expects you to pass the test. Once you pass the test, you're going to have confidence so that if you ever come across this test again, you say, oh, no, we've done that. No big deal. And you'll be able to encourage other brothers and sisters by the test that God helped you to endure, and you can come alongside them and say, oh, cancer, hey, cancer is no problem for God. Believe me, I had it and went through it. God brought me through it. What he did for me, he'll do for you. He loves you just as much as he loves me. You should be encouraging and comforting one another by the trials that you've gone through. But you must learn to endure everything by abiding remaining open. God's going to show himself to me in this trial. God's going to show himself to me in this test, so that you may be completely mature, lacking in nothing. And then notice in verse 13, the scripture says, blessed is the man. Wrong verse anyway. He talks about blessed is the man who endures temptation, because after he's endured it, he receives the crown of life. The crown of life is what? Confidence. I can face anything. I can do anything because God Almighty lives in me. I'm fearless. I don't panic like I used to panic. I don't worry like I used to worry. I don't fear like I used to worry. Or I don't have a spirit of fear. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I have confidence, you see. Are you with me? You see where God's taken us. Your part is to remain open, no matter what, and let him flow. Let him flow, let him flow, let him flow. The spirit inside you. I'm a branch. He's the vine. The sap, the life, the energy, the life that I now live. I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. His life is flowing through me. I'm to let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Are you with me? Oh, the world outside is frightful, but Jesus inside is delightful. Whenever I don't know what to do, like sing a song, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Are you with me? Open, open, open. Anything's possible. Don't start confessing what the world's telling you. Well, there's no hope. Well, there's nothing left we can do. Well, it's really going to get bad. Stay open. Our brief time on earth is not enough for all the ways that God wants to show us himself. He wants to manifest himself to us. That's why we have eternal life. Because this life's not enough. You couldn't know everything about God here. There's so much more to know. And so this relationship that we have with God is a two-way street. It requires two people to cooperate toward the same goal. We have to be open, remain open. Jesus said that we're to remain in him, abide in him. And then there must be ways, if it's possible for us to abide in him and remain in him, there must be ways that where we can't remain in him, where we don't abide in him. As believers, there must be something in us that can shut off the belief system. Cranks down the valve and shuts off believing. I'm not believing. The Apostle Paul gave us a warning, and he warned the church using five words. He said this: do not quench the Spirit. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't shut down the Spirit. Don't stop abiding. Don't stop remaining. Don't stop believing. Quench means to stifle. It means to put out the fire. And Paul warned this by the Holy Spirit to the church, because it's possible for the church to put out the fire of God in the church and in themselves. It's possible to quench the Spirit of God living in you. It's possible. There are times I have sensed it, even in this church, I believe I've discerned, there are times where it is very difficult to preach a message because the people have shut down. They're more interested in going to the restaurant than they are hearing the Word of God. It doesn't happen very often, but there are times I've told Pam, I said, man, it was like pulling teeth today. Like I had to wrestle people to the ground and get this bad thing out of them. I mean, it was just horrible. It was very, very difficult. You should make my job extremely easy by coming to church already open, where we don't have to go through a long time to get you to open. You're already open. See, because by the time I'm preaching, if you're not open, it's too late. The living word's coming to you, and it's just bouncing right off of you. Boom, boom, Boom. A word that could have changed your life. It could have changed your attitude. Could have changed your circumstances. It was a word that you were to grab hold of. It was a word that was going to breathe life into you again. It was going to give you hope again. And it bounced right off of you because you shut the door. Well, I wish you'd hurry up and get done, because what are we going to eat today? I wonder what restaurant we want to go to. Let me look at Facebook for a while on my phone. You telling me you're open to God? You don't think God knows? Paul wrote to some Christians in Rome, and he said to them that he blessed them. He said, because you've been obedient from the heart of the word that was preached to you. You've been obedient from the heart. Do you think God could tell the difference between someone who's just obedient and someone who's obedient from the heart? So you can be going through all the motions. You know, you're living moral. You're doing all this church stuff. You show up. You're faithful. You tithe. You know, you say amen. You do all that stuff. But God's looking for a heart that's open. That'll take a risk when God says, now go over and give a $100 bill to that homeless person. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That's not God. Well, if you're not open, you wouldn't recognize his voice. But when you're open, you recognize when God is telling you to do something. And the experiences you have with God, they're not to be broadcast to everybody. Some of you're just supposed to keep between you and God. You don't do it to be seen of men. It's an act of worship to God. I obeyed you, God. As best I know how, I believe you led me to do that. Certainly the devil wouldn't lead me to do it. So I'm going to do it and trust, and there you go. Well, what if nothing really happened? What if the person, you know, wasn't open to your witness and wasn't? Well, it doesn't matter. You just do obey God. Just obey God. You don't know all the results. So don't quench the Spirit, he says. It's a warning to the church of all people. The church should be people who welcome the Spirit. The church should be people who are used to flowing in the Spirit, who have testimony after testimony, week after week, day after day, of experiencing God in their life in little ways, in big ways, in breakthroughs, in miracles, and signs, and wonders. This is the church that flows in the Spirit. And yet he warned the church, don't quench the Spirit, church. Remain open. And then specifically, he says in the context of 1 Thessalonians 19, you got to see the context. He tells you, here's how you don't quench the Spirit. One, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Rejoy. Recharge. You already have joy. When you receive Jesus, you may need to recharge, and rejoicing is an act of faith. Rejoicing is an act of, I'm abiding in you, God. I'm believing that you're with me. I can rejoice that I'm saved. I can rejoice that my name's in heaven. I can rejoice that you're with me. I can rejoice that you know my path. There's always something to rejoice in. I rejoice that you are my strength. It keeps you open. Are you with me? Rejoice when you feel like it. Quenching the Spirit. Rejoice always open. It shouldn't be hard to get believers, when you get up here to lead them in worship on a Sunday morning, it shouldn't be difficult to get them to rejoice. They ought to be like chomping at the bit, saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's start, man. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm a racehorse. Let's break out of here. Let's rejoice in God. Let's rejoice with dancing. Let's wave the flags. Let's lift up the banners. Let's shout unto God the voice of triumph. Let's give God the praise he's worthy of. It ought to be easy among believers. And when it's difficult, you have to wonder, is somebody quenching the Spirit? Keeps you open to God. Rejoice always. That's your part, to rejoice. And if you don't rejoice, even when you don't feel like it, if you only wait till you feel like it, you're not really rejoicing always. Rejoicing always. You may have to get your rejoicer fixed because it may be broken, but you're told to rejoice always. Joy is in you, but you need to use it by rejoicing. Pray without ceasing, the second thing he says. Keep open to God. Prayer is conversation. It's talking to God. It's unburdening myself to Him. He already knows my problems, my situation, but He says, I want you to cast the care on me. I want you to tell me how you feel. I want you to express it to me. That's fine. I'm listening. And then He wants you to be still and listen back. See if there's anything He has to say to you. Sometimes it's through His Word. He'll speak to you through the Word. Sometimes it's through people. Sometimes it's through the still small voice of the Spirit. But this prayer is talking and listening to God. Number three, in everything, give thanks. This is how you stay open to God. In everything, give thanks. This is how you stay open to God. It doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is good. But it means that everything in your life that God has sovereignly allowed you to go through, He's going to make a path for you to make it good eventually. One person, amen. Thank you. In everything. Not in something, but in everything. You got to do this by faith. You got to do this by being open. I don't know how. I don't see any good in this right now. I don't feel good about this. I don't like this situation. Not everything that happens to you is good. He says, in everything, give thanks to God. God is sovereign. He can make something good come out of this. I trust Him. You stay open. And then finally, don't quench the Spirit. Number four, don't stifle what the Spirit is doing. Cooperate with the Spirit of God. And there's one more. He said, don't despise prophecies. Prophecies. This is a prophetic church. We believe in prophecy. We believe in the inspired preaching of the Word is prophetic. No doubt about that. But also that people prophesy. We believe in the fivefold ministry, that there are apostles and there are prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers today. They didn't pass out at the first century. It's still in existence. In fact, the Bible says all of you can prophesy. You ought to do it one, two, three at a service at a time and do it so that you can learn. In other words, you're going to make some mistakes. Because prophecy is you cooperating with God. And when you cooperate with God and God is letting you, you're receiving what you believe God is saying to you, it goes through your mind, your experiences, your life. God communicates to you in a way that He knows you understand Him. And then you are to try to communicate that to people. Usually a prophetic word, when it's given, is not a long, lengthy thing. It's usually short. And when people start with a prophecy and they start sharing, usually in church, the Lord is saying this, and they start saying about one or two sentences, I know that's probably about it. And then after that, they try to explain it, then I know that part's not God. Because God doesn't need to explain Himself. And so usually a prophecy is, we believe in prophecies. And for some reason, Paul told this church, don't despise prophesying. Maybe they'd had some excesses, and we've had excesses. We've had people come in spiritual gifts, and there have been excesses. Maybe we've gone too far. Maybe we started out in the Spirit, and we ended up in the flesh and went too far or something. We're learning. And he said, don't despise prophecies. Don't shut it down because one or two people misused it or abused it. Believe in prophecies. Anything's possible. And he says, firmly hold on to what's good. You got to stay open to God. Is a supernatural God. Sometimes God does things just to blow our mind. I mean, I often wonder, God, why do you speak in a foreign tongue, an unknown tongue in church? And then somebody's going to interpret it. And then everybody's going to say, well, I don't know if that's really God or not. Why would you do that, God? Why not just come up and say it, you know, thus says the Lord, blah, 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 there you go. Why do you go through the process of someone speaking in a tongue and then the interpretation? Why do you do that? Because you have to be open. I told you, God's nature is unchanging, but his ways are mysterious and unpredictable. He likes it that way. You got to be open to God. And once you think you know everything about God, you shut down. And finally, he says, in number six, he says, abstain from all appearances of evil. That ought to be obvious. If it appears to be evil, don't get involved in it. Stay out of it. You're to be a bright light in a dark, dangerous world. And so the question we should all be asking ourselves is this. Am I in any way quenching the Spirit of God in my life or in this church? Don't be so quick to answer no for yourself. Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have I been quenching you in my life? Am I quenching you in this church? There are times that God has told people to do certain things in this church and they didn't do it for fear of people. Fear of what people are going to think about them. There are times that a tongue should have been given and it wasn't given. There was a time prophecies were supposed to be given and they weren't given. There was a time a testimony was to be given and it wasn't given. And you've never been in a church this free before. This is a really free church. Sometimes too free. Too free to let the flesh parade. But what I'm saying is that this is a free place. But there are times where you didn't dance. When the Spirit said dance, you didn't do it. I'm not condemning you. I'm just pointing out something to you that, you know, Jesus opens you. Your part is to remain open. That's what abiding is all about. I'm abiding. I'm letting him flow, letting him flow, letting him flow. What if I look ridiculous in front of everybody? Who cares? God wants you to be confident in him and have confidence in the Holy Spirit to lead you. He often will put you in situations that do not look right or seem right. God loves working with a minority of people rather than a majority. He doesn't wait for everybody to vote to decide whether or not they're going to agree with him or not. He uses sometimes the people that the world would say they're really not qualified to do that. God wants to deliver Israel from Egypt. Wow. Egypt is the strongest nation and power, empire in the whole world at that time. How's he going to do it? Well, he's going to make a great big army, a lot of soldiers, chariots, weapons. No, he sends an 80-year-old man who stuttered. And he said, now you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Lord, I'm not sure I can get the words out. You see who God uses? He uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He wants to use those weak places in you and in me to confound you. But you got to be open and you got to remain open. God, what if you're leading me to go witness? What if I say the wrong thing? Trust me, I'll be with you. The greatest revelation you've ever had in your life is Emmanuel, God with us. Trust in him. Trust in his presence. Stay open to him. If he leads you to do it, he'll give you the grace to do it his way. David one time got in trouble with God. After a lot of victories, and he had faced many more battles, he said to his men, he says, I want you to go out and I want you to number. Take a census. I want to see how strong we are. One of his advisors said, King, I don't think you should do that. And he said, no, I do. I want to know how strong we are. I want to know how many soldiers we are, and I want to know. So you do it. God rebuked him for that. Because God wanted David to realize, it's not how many people you have. It's me. I'm with you. You and me are a majority. That's all you need to know. You don't look at things and measure them like the world measures them. Well, I don't have enough money to do that. If God tells you to do it, you don't even think about it. You go do it. Are you with me? You and God are a majority. It's true. God is with you if you're born again. He's in you to stay. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's no limit. You only limit yourself. You sometimes are your worst enemy. You talk yourself out of what God's trying to tell you to do. He has greatness waiting for you. But you're going to have to go through some trials to get there. Because your confidence level's got to come up. And you've got to really believe and be believing with God, nothing. Nothing's impossible. Would you stand to your feet? Would you bow your head? Altar workers, would you come join me up here? Today, God wants to build confidence in your life. He wants you to be confident in Him and confident in yourself that He is with you. One of my inheritance verses is this, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. It's okay to confess at times when you're weak. You say, I am weak. But it's also important to confess what God says, because when you're weak, He's still strong. He never changes. His strength is in you. Maybe He wants your weakness to manifest His strength. I don't know what you're going through right now, whatever trial you're facing. I don't know whatever issue that's coming down your way. God knows the path for your life. And He wants you to have His joy right now. And confidence to remain open to Him, and that you would be like David and run toward the giant when he comes into your life. Face the giant confidently and knowing that he's going to fall. The mountain's going to move. You're going to make it through. You're going to finish well. Because that word that was spoken this morning by Carol, the Lord will accomplish that which concerns you. Hallelujah. Say it with me. The Lord will accomplish that which concerns my life. I'm a winner, not a quitter. Thank you, God. I have your joy and I rejoice in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.